So, Romans 15. All right, students from Merced, what's Romans about?
Salvation by faith.
Ah, salvation by faith, that's right.
Faith.
Yes, from beginning to end, right? From first to last. All right, so the title of our lesson tonight is A Priestly Duty. A Priestly Duty. How many priests do we have here? Priests, yeah. Priests? Okay. So I thought people were Christians. I asked, how many priests do we have here? Okay, one, two, okay. The rest of you haven't become Christians yet. Okay. I thought this was a meeting of Christians.
Wait, do you mean the disciples?
No, priests. Yeah, priests. Okay. Based on what scripture?
There's one.
I mean, isn't it in the light and darkness study?
Yeah. It's 1 Peter 2:9.
You're a royal priesthood.
A holy nation.
Right? And wasn't it in Leviticus 18 where God says you will be a nation of priests?
Yes. Let's go.
All right. So how many here are priests?
I am.
Okay, good. So the question is, what is your priestly duty? Because what do priests do? Priests are mediators between people and the divine. Okay? And who is our mediator?
Christ.
Jesus. So we don't need a priest because we already have one. So who needs a priest? Ah, let's see. So you're going to learn something from the Bible tonight that you didn't already know. You thought it was just going to be old stuff you've heard 100 times before. No, it's not. Romans 15, 1 through 13. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. Now, wait a minute. From our lesson on Wednesday night, Merced people, in this context, who are the strong and who are the weak? Remember, it's not the strong and the weak Christians. The strong are the ones who have a conscience that allows them to do something which is a debatable thing.
True.
And who are the weak in this context?
Don't do things.
The ones who have a sensitive conscience that doesn't allow them to do something which is not inherently sinful, okay? So you got the context here. So now you know that. So we who are strong, who understand that it's all okay, it's all good, ought to bear with the failings of the weak, who have seems like they're almost legalistic. They all worry about all this stuff that's not important. Okay, got it? And not to please ourselves, each of us should please our neighbors for their good to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other. You strong people towards those weak people who have sensitive consciences. All right. So that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This passage is about unity in the fellowship. That's what it's about. Accept one another. He says two things. He says, bear with one another. And he also says here, accept one another. Then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews, on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I'll sing the praises of your name. And again it says, rejoice you Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord all you Gentiles. There's a lot of Gentile stuff going on here. Let all his people extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will rise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's, and we're going to read about 4 more verses, just, you know, because we haven't gotten to the priest passage yet. So this passage is about the need for unity. Do we need unity?
Yes, sir.
What did Jesus pray in John 17 on the night he was betrayed? John 17. I'll give you a hint. It's the word I just used 30 seconds ago. He prayed about unity, right? May they be completely unified as I and as you and I are Father and one, may be one. So how are we going to maintain unity? Well, first of all, he says we need to bear with one another. Bear with one another. What's that mean? What's it mean to bear with somebody? Tolerate somebody. Put up with people that bug you. I bet there's somebody in this room that you have to kind of tolerate. Now don't look at, Andres, don't look at that person. Don't look at that person, all right? The Paul says we need to bear with each other. Some of us have bad habits. Some of us might have bad, personal hygiene. Some of us may be socially awkward. Some of us may only talk about stupid video games.
Yes.
Or some of us, everyone here has a tendency which is obnoxious and possibly even rude to somebody else in this room. But what does the Bible say we need to do about that? We need to bear with one another. Is it going to be easy? Apparently not. By the way, he also says in Colossians 3:13, bear with one another. Bearing with one another means putting up with traits you simply do not like. By the way, the Bible commands that we love one another, but it doesn't command that we like everybody. There are going to be people in the church you don't like. So what are you supposed to do with that? Bear with one another. Yeah, maybe there's something they do that for other people it's fine, but for you it's just downright obnoxious. Maybe. And by the way, you have to love everybody, but you don't have to be best friends with everybody, okay? You get to pick your best friends in the church, okay? But you need to love everybody. All right? That's what he says. All right? So bad manners, socially awkward, insufficient personal hygiene, whatever it is. So what, don't raise your hand and do not answer this question out loud. But what is it that you really have to bear with sometimes? Everybody's different. Don't raise your hand and don't answer my question out loud. All right? So this is hard, apparently. You know why? Because as the church, we're family. We're in each other's face all the time. Right? Let's say Jason had a trait that was really obnoxious to, I don't know your name.
Kalebra,
thank you, Kalebra. We were sitting next to each other. And how often do you see Jason? 3 or 4 times a week, probably. Oh, man, can you imagine that? So here's what it says. Even Christ did not please himself. Guess what? Some of the disciples, he kind of had to bear with them. Think of the stories. How many times in the Gospels do you get the sense that Jesus is going like, all right, got it? So he says, the insults who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Now, I've read this passage 50 times. And I've interpreted it many times, but I think this week I finally actually figured out this passage.
Wow.
What's he talking about? It says, through the endurance taught in the scriptures. Whose endurance is taught in the scripture? God's endurance. It's like God has to put up with guess who?
Everybody.
All of us. And so basically saying, read the Old Testament. Did God have to have a lot of endurance? Did he have a lot of bearing with his people? Oh my goodness. So that's what he's saying. If you want to have unity in the church, you have to be able to bear with people that are hard to bear with. It's so hard that apparently you need to read the scriptures and you need to look at God and did he bear with some, I mean, those Jews, they messed up so bad. It's like, how did God ever put up with them? All right? So therefore, you can put up with the whatever behavior it is that you just don't really like. Okay? So that's part of how we're going to have unity. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude. So number one, to have unity, we have to bear with one another. And then verse 5, he's talking about have unity, have the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice we may be glorify the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. But what one thing that might stop that one attitude, mind and one voice is if we don't like each other. Then in verse 7, he says, accept one another. Bearing with one another, that's dealing with people that just rub you the wrong way. They just have habits, whatever. Accepting one another, that has to do with people that you disagree with. In fact, there could be somebody that you actually like and want to hang out with, and their opinion is like way different from yours. Maybe it's on politics.
Uh-oh.
Or maybe it's on a spiritual issue. For example, questions related to the weak and the strong. There are some people in here who feel like a Christian should not do, fill in the blank, and there's somebody else in this group who does fill in the blank. And I'm telling you, if you're a Christian long enough, that's going to happen a lot. Got it? And as a young Christian, let's be trained in this area earlier on instead of later, okay? Let me say it again. There's somebody in this group who feels like a Christian would never do fill in the blank. And there's somebody else in this room who does it all the time because they have no problem doing it. Now for that, read chapter 14, but I don't have time for that. So two things. We need to bear with one another, and then we need to accept one another. That doesn't mean we have to agree with one another. You can continue disagreeing till the day you die. In the church, we're going to have progressive people who, and we're going to have very conservative people. And we're going to have people who, any movie is okay. And we're going to have people who think, why in the world would a Christian ever watch that movie? We kind of had that conversation earlier. Who's the guy, the action hero we were talking about?
John Wick.
It's like, probably some of you think that's the most awesome movie. I'm just telling you, like, how could a Christian actually like that movie? But in that case, am I the weak or the strong person?
Weak.
I'm the weak person in that case. But what's the Bible say we need to do about this? No, that was the earlier thing. That was on obnoxious traits. So the bear with one another is people who just do stuff that just rubs you the wrong way. It has nothing to do right, wrong, moral, or anything. It's just, what can I say? They need to use more deodorant. Or, they need to, whatever it is. No, we're talking, this second one is more important actually. Because this is something you have a conviction about.
Yeah.
And what's it say we need to do? We need to accept one another. Now, I'm going to skip the next 10 verses because basically he's using examples of the Jews and the Gentiles. And you can imagine the Jews had all kinds of stuff that they did that the Gentiles thought was ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right. But even more so, the Gentiles did a lot of stuff that the Jews thought, like, how could anybody ever do that? And I'm telling you, if the Jews and the Gentiles could accept one another, you guys can accept one another. But again, go back to the Bible. Because God had to bear with a lot of crap. I can't say that in an older crowd. In a younger crowd, I can say that. All right. But he also had to deal with people who had some opinions that were actually different from God's opinion. All right, anyway, now I'm going to get to this next little section. Verse 14. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with the knowledge and competent to instruct one another.